This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Dystopical. It's our first show of the new year, and Kat and I just want to say hi, and to let you know that this week we'll be talking about our New Year's resolutions.
And last year's resolutions.
Oh, and last year's resolutions, and all the resolutions we failed in the past. So really, it's a personal flagellation session.
I don't think I've failed that many, Fareen.
I'm sad to say that I've failed quite a few. We're going to be talking about life lessons that we've learned every year as we go along, what we want to achieve, and just the music that we've liked along the way.
No, I want to correct that to the music that Fareen has liked along the way.
That you've consented to play.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to start off with some of that music. So, let's go now.
Cool. And welcome back to Dystopical. You were just listening to some of my favorite songs, and we were playing UB40's Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And
which is a really sucky song, I have to say.
I'm a really sucky person on the inside, Kat.
Yeah, I guess I am way, way deep on the inside. Perhaps not on the outside, but, you know, while we're doing that, I'm going to take that opportunity to dedicate that song to my partner.
Oh, you sucky person,
that's
you.
That's about as sucky as I
and
get.
And it was after nine, I'd use the sucky B word.
But
it's not, and it's early, so we're
not swearing on the air.
And we're not. And after that, we played Suggs with Cecilia. Mm-hmm. And so for the rest of the evening, we'll be talking about why we make New Year's resolutions and set ourselves up for failure or success. how I fail every year and Kat succeeds at hers.
That's right.
And what they are going to be this year.
Ouch.
So, Kat, please disclose.
Well, look, before we talk about what we've actually decided upon and what we decided upon last year and achieved or didn't achieve, I think it's important to talk about why we make resolutions. Like, what is that about? Like, you know, it's the fourth day of the year or the, you know, yesterday was the third day of the year, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, my and God. So, today's the fourth and yesterday was the third. You are a genius,
I know.
Friend.
I'm really good with numbers and stuff. But I keep talking to people that say things like, depending on what the day of the year is. So I haven't had a cigarette for 2 days. I haven't had a cigarette for 3 days.
Again with the numbers, please stop.
Clearly we just, you know, we decide that we're going to behave in certain ways given the fact that it's turned into a year. So,
and why do you think the new year is significant in that regard? Why isn't every day a good day to make positive changes?
Well, I think that as humans we tend to compartmentalize things. So everything that we've been destroyed or not made work in a year, we, you know, the next year is a particular segment. So we think we can start again and do it again then.
And do you think that's why the sort of Christmas is a significant period and the New Year is a significant period, not just because you spend time with family and friends, but also because it gives you time to take stock of what you've achieved and what you failed at and what you want to do more with over the next year and how you're going to go about achieving those things?
Oh, I think that's absolutely why it's important.
Why can't we have like a 3-year calendar? I'd like to be a little less self-reflective.
I'm sure you would. Given your success with the New Year's resolutions we've made in the past.
Oh, Barb, okay.
I, however, have had somewhat more success. But I think that's got something to do with the fact that in my previous incarnation as a 20-something-year-old, I went through that hippie phase where I did lots of spiritual stuff and work on myself. And I learnt.
I can't believe you just said that with a straight face.
I know. Anyway, I know that you've known me for a long time and that's really not me, but it was once. And I remember learning about goal setting. And the key is making achievable goals. And setting particular timelines within which you intend to make those goals a reality. And so that's something that I carry forward. So I try not to set myself like unrealistic goals, like, hey, in 2011, I'm going to become an astronaut. So maybe that's why I...
So do you say that you set yourself really easy goals, like I'm going to have coffee at one point this year?
No, I
well,
don't.
I did so well. Is that why you achieve all your goals and I don't? Because yours is like shower, tick, coffee, tick, sleep, tick. Oh, wow, I've achieved all my goals for the year. What a success am I?
Oh, my God, that was so easy. No, it's probably just because I have better willpower than you.
You just say it. You're a better person than I am.
Okay, I'm a better person than you are. I have more self-discipline, more experience. Yeah, generally I'm a better person.
Okay.
Yeah.
And moving right along, why do I fail at my New Year's resolutions? Whilst you continue every year to succeed at your New Year's resolutions, well, why is it that every year I fail at mine? Every single one. I seem to not achieve any of my New Year's resolutions.
Perhaps you set unrealistic goals.
Is it because my mother sets them for me? Oh, wait, we're skipping ahead.
Yeah, I sincerely hope Shalina's not listening right now while you're saying that. But I think one does need to set one's own goals, because otherwise you're not sufficiently motivated enough.
And I completely agree, because you set one for me last year, and it was an easy one along the lines of your goals, which are, you know, make coffee, drink coffee.
That is crap,
wash coffee cup. You made one for me that was dead easy, and I didn't manage to achieve that one either.
What was it?
Watch The Neverending Story.
Oh, and The Labyrinth. You failed both of them. And I actually think I've set you that goal 2 years in a row.
I've always been waiting for a sick day where I need to watch.
That's two movies, like 3 hours of your entire year, and you failed, and these are both cult movies.
And I just think that that's, you know, a really good testament to, you know, what you said earlier. You have to make your own resolutions, otherwise they won't resonate with you.
Yeah, because, you know, David Bowie in tights, like, doesn't resonate. Actually, I've never met a person that has watched The Labyrinth, gay, straight, bisexual, whatever, that hasn't found David Bowie in The Labyrinth just, like, unbelievably hot, and you still can't manage to devote 90 minutes to watching it. And we're not even talking about Jennifer Connelly. Oh, why don't you tell us one of the ones that you failed last year?
Quit smoking. Perennial. See, and not just mine, yours too.
No, I didn't put that as a New Year's resolution.
Because you couldn't achieve it. So what's the point of putting down New Year's resolutions that, you know, you're not even going to bother with?
Absolutely. Although, this is what I'm saying. Like, you make achievable goals.
Shall we go to a song while I punch you in the face?
And look really, really uncomfortable. I'd love to.
And welcome back to Dystopical. You were just listening to Shaggy with Carolina. My love.
I've always loved Shaggy. I can't
Duran Duran with Come Undone. Oh, very, very lovely, romantic, touchy-feely music for the new year.
Speaking of the new year... Fine.
And touchy-feely.
No, that's not where I was going with that, but okay. I was actually going to ask you what your New Year's resolutions
were last year.
The ones that you say that you didn't meet when I met all mine.
Okay, so it was really just the usual suspects. Quit smoking, cut down on drinking, and lose those extra several kilos that I've been putting on over the past couple of years. I managed to achieve none of those, actually. I've put on a few more kilos. My liver's doing just as badly as it did at the beginning of last year, and I'm still quite a smoking fiend.
I feel very sad to hear that, Farin.
Mm-hmm. And what were yours?
As a success story, yeah.
And I also failed the one that you set for me.
Which was?
Watch The Neverending Story and
The Labyrinth.
And, David Bowie in tights.
As, like, everybody that's listening who has obviously seen both of these films, because everyone has except you.
And may I just say, I grew up in Africa.
Yeah, till you were, like, what, 5?
18, my friend. Anyway, what did you succeed with last year? And what did you fail at last year? And what were your lessons learned?
I only failed at one of them, particularly last year.
Well, what did you set?
Well, they were fairly achievable. I vowed that I would get out of Melbourne more. So I decided that I would get out of Melbourne at least four times, including Southeast Asia. I didn't make it to Southeast Asia.
Though, but you're going?
I am going to Indonesia, which is not Southeast Asia.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's close.
Yeah. I'd totally have that one.
In 3 weeks, I will be there. So, you know,
did you buy your ticket before the new year?
Yes.
It counts.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Then I am a success story.
Okay, so where did you go this year?
Well, I went to Queensland 500 million times. I've actually lost track of how many times I went to Queensland because it was so cold in Melbourne this year. I went to Sydney. I went to Tasmania a couple of times. I went to Cairns.
You did very well then.
Yeah, I did pretty well.
Yeah. Great.
So what else did I vow? That I would
You say vow. It's like I treat my New Year's resolutions a lot more lightly than you vow to do these things.
I take these things really seriously. I decided that I would respect and insist that other people respect my time, my personal and bodily integrity. And my values.
And your finances.
And my finances. So I and other people did
And how
that.
Did you go about achieving that? Because that's actually a really hard one, I think.
Why do you think it's hard?
I think it's hard because respect my time, my body, my finances. Those are a lot of really, really sort of deep things. You're touching on the things that sort of mean the most to people. How did you achieve those things?
Well, I think it stems from respecting yourself and insisting that you have your own needs and wants met.
Is that selfish? Putting yourself first, is that selfish?
Well, it can be, depending on what it is that you want. But I think it can also be to do with self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's more important than what other people need. So,
and how did you go about achieving those things this year?
Well, I think I just became more independent, less focused on partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And
by that you mean friendships, you mean lovers, you mean
mainly lovers, but also friendships, like understanding that, you know, people have their own needs and desires. And that they may not necessarily match mine.
Mm.
So focusing on my own first, which sounds really self-centered.
This is going to be a tra-la-la show. What happened? Tra-la-la, New Year's resolutions. Oh, my God.
Well, sometimes what we aim for ourselves is quite deep. Like, you know, 2009 was a pretty crappy year for me. So I was determined that 2010 would be a better year.
Mm.
And I was determined to put in place things that meant that it would be so. Like, you know,
Do you think it's about a mindset and not about what life throws at you? Like, what would have happened if you had this mindset that you were going to respect your finances, your body, your relationships, who you are, and then you were made redundant or you got cancer?
Well, it's kind of hard to answer that question because those things didn't happen.
No, what I'm saying is you were in a sort of fortuitous environment around you.
Well, not necessarily. I think one can make one's own fortuitous. So hard not to copy your accent sometimes. Fortuitous environment. Unless, you know, something is thrown at you like, you know, a disease or an illness, which didn't happen, thank goodness. But otherwise, I think it's about self-restraint.
Mm.
Focus, not necessarily doing what you want to do, but what you think is best for you in the long run.
And how easy is it to juggle the things that you want to do right now and the things you know are better for you in the future?
Look, I'm a
I know you're a Taurian, and I've always said about Kat, she'll just do what she wants to do right now and forget all the things about in the future. She'll just do what her body tells her to do. So to hear her say that she juggles what she wants to do right now versus what is best for her in the future is a very interesting thing for me. And please do continue.
Well, it's really hard sometimes.
Is this like a sign of you growing up?
Well, I'm 37 years old, so I figure it's about time.
Age ain't nothing but a number, my darling, and I'm not good with those.
Yeah, look, it was really hard, and I didn't always achieve it. And, you know, last year wasn't a complete success. There were some horror stories as well. And I do have a tendency to go over the top. And, you know, I just want what I want, and I'm... We can talk about this more in the next segment, which is about our New Year's resolutions this year.
And meanwhile, while you cry on my shoulder, we're just going to go to a song. Take it away, Cat Lady. And welcome back to Dystopical. You were just listening to Arrested Development with Everyday People and Vanilla Ice with Ice Ice Baby. Do you think that's about drugs?
Oh, I've never thought about it. I just... liked that there was a white guy rapping.
Yeah. The other dude does that too.
The other dude?
Yeah,
that's,
you know.
That's so informative. I'm really glad that you pointed that out.
You know the guy that does that with the Dido? What's his name?
Eminem.
Eminem, that's right. So there's another white dude that raps, and yet you don't have the same rapture for him.
Oh, no, I love him. Actually, I love Eminem.
Yeah. My favorite song is Mushrooms, and I'm just being... wondering with Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby if I've got like some subliminal sort of thing around ice and mushrooms.
That's possible, and also it's still family hour, so let's discuss that another time and perhaps off air.
Yeah, we'll do a special NA session.
That's great. And moving right along, because Farine is completely inappropriate. So Farine, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why don't you tell us what yours are this year? The ones that you're determined you will not achieve.
So I'm going to take a little lesson from you.
Oh.
And I'm going to...
I thought I'd never hear those words.
You won't hear them very often, so please just be happy and revel in it. I'm going to do things that I hope I can achieve over the next year more realistically. One of them is to swim more often. I absolutely love swimming. I'm a bit of a fish. And
you are an exceptional swimmer, it has to be said. I remember when we've gone swimming together, I've done 12 laps and you've done 40 in the same time.
Yes, I know. I'm great. I think it grounds me. It calms me down. It's my meditation, and I love being a hippie, but not in the hippie kind of way. So I think it's my form of, you know, just being at peace and just counting whilst doing laps.
Okay, look, this sounds achievable, but what I learned when I was, you know, waxing all positive and, you know, misachievement in the last segment is that you need to make your goals, you know, achievable, which means you need to be specific about them. So I think part of the reason that people fall down when it comes to making goals and plans is that they're kind of ephemeral or nebulous. So when you say, I want to swim more, like, clearly you don't swim. So, like, okay, if you go swimming once this year, technically you've achieved it. But I feel like setting an amount and a time frame within which to achieve something makes it more concrete. So, like, what do you actually mean by I'm going to swim more?
Well, I think what that means for me is that I'm going to swim at least once a week.
Okay.
Hopefully on a weekday. So it kind of helps to get some of the tension, some of the aggro, and, you know, I want to punch someone in the face kind of stuff out.
That's very attractive quality.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, swimming is my anger management. So let me swim.
Please don't let me stop you.
So I think swimming one time a week would be, you know, a really good goal to set myself for the year. I think... And I say this every year, this year is going to slow down work-wise, and it never, ever does.
Same. It just gets – it actually cranks up more.
But I think that one of the things I want to set myself this year is to actively not work full-time.
Right.
To take off maybe in the beginning a day off every 2 weeks and then a day off a week for the rest of the year. I haven't taken annual leave in a year and a bit.
For me it's been 2 years.
And I think there's quite a lot – accrued, and I think that if you don't take time off, you go a little nuts. And when I say you, I mean me.
I think you mean us.
Everyone, really. I think that annual leave, is there for a reason? I think time off is there to regenerate, to revitalize, to think about the things that you like about your work and the things that you want to change about your life.
And it's about work-life balance. And it is.
And we've gotten into this mindset where at my workplace, at least, which is quite a competitive environment, if you don't work more than 8 hours a day, or if you don't put in the time on weekends, then you're considered a slacker, or you're considered someone that doesn't really, really care about the cause as much as other people care about the cause. And I think that we've forgotten that we have a work-life balance for a reason. There's a reason why we sleep. There's a reason why we, do the reproductive things in our lives, like cook and clean and look after our families and our gardens and swim, whatever it might be, and also work 8 hours a day. And I think that in the beginning of the year, it's easier to keep that balance because things are slower, and as they accelerate throughout the year, it just gets more and more out of control. Mm. And every year, I say to myself, I'm going to stop that acceleration process, and every year it just gets out of hand, and it gets worse every year the more responsibility I take on. And I think this year, I think I have the luxury, and I thank whoever it is out there that I have the luxury of possibly taking off a day a week or a day every other week to enjoy the new home I just bought and, plant some pretty flowers and to water them and to do things like refinish furniture. I know that's very Lezzo. paint, wear overalls, be butch, all that kind of great stuff that I've been so not butch. Being able to do.
Yeah, look, I think those things are really important. And I think my goals this year are also really simple compared to like some of the more personal goals that I've had in the past. Like, there's the usual ones like, being more responsible with my money and smoking less, and
those go hand in hand. Considering cigarettes are now $18 a pack, being more responsible with money and quitting smoking.
Yeah, really, they go hand together. In hand. Yeah, and not dying in the last year, in the next year or two.
Yeah, forget the not dying part.
But there's also other things that I think that are very much to do with our time. Like I've noticed, like as someone who is a literature grad, that I don't read anymore because, technology took over. And so I have this iPhone, I have a laptop. I still don't really watch TV, but, that's enough technology. I now have.
But you do play PlayStation a lot, don't you?
No, I play Nintendo DSi, care of my girlfriend. She bought it for me and probably makes her evil, but I love it so much. But it means that I don't read books because something has happened.
Anymore.
Yeah, something has happened that means my attention span seems to have decreased as I've gotten older.
Yes, I notice that when I have dinner with you.
Yeah, I can't concentrate.
Pet peeve.
Okay, we can talk about that off air. So I think one of my plans is to start doing non-technological things again this year.
I think that's a really good plan. And I used to, consistently since I was 18, I used to say to myself, I'm going to read one classic every year. Whether it's a small classic and it's, 20 pages, or it's a big classic and Anna Karenina, I'm going to read a classic every year. And I think last year was the only year that I wasn't able to do that, to read one classic. And I've read some great ones over the years. I think Jack Kerouac On the Road changed my life a couple of years ago.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I've been really surprised with myself how much my attention span has shortened since the advent of Facebook and laptops and
Twitter
and then, iPhones. So I would like to become untechnological in a certain sense. I don't want to become a Luddite, but... Yeah.
Downgrade.
I miss books. Like, I'm surrounded by them. Like, I have a million... Well, I don't have millions of them, but, a good 1,000 or so of them. And I'm not reading. It seems ridiculous.
Well, I think one of the things I guess I've noticed about the acceleration of work pace is that with the advent of things like email and, text messaging, you have to be available to answer emails all the time. So it's not like you can get a letter in the mail and it takes 2 weeks and then you type out a response over a week and then you send it back and that's another 2 weeks. You get an email in your inbox instantly and there's pressure to answer it instantly. And one of the things I've read about effective work practices is not checking your email all the time. So having yourself, setting yourself times at which you check your email. So maybe first thing in the morning and then after lunch and then at the end of the day, instead of, you know, working on a document, checking your email, you know, doing something else, checking an email, talking to your colleague, checking an email. It's lowering the expectation for consistent and constant communication, I think, is important.
Mm, I agree.
My New Year's resolutions this year were actually dismissed by my mother, I have to say. So my whole, like, I'm going to set it easy and I'm going to do things that I want to do.
But did she have her own resolutions?
Yeah, she heard them and she was like, yeah, those aren't actually good enough. So by my mom's standards, she's going to set me the same New Year's resolutions I set myself last year and I failed at, which includes quit smoking, stop drinking, and lose weight and get a trainer. And I said, so you're going to pay for that trainer? She said, of course I'm going to pay for that trainer. So,
oh, really? That's nice.
Yeah, so I might hold her to that. I do like having a trainer. I don't like paying the $200 an hour for a trainer. So I might hold my mother to that one. Other than that, I'm dismissing the rest. Power to me. Sorry, Mama. Sorry, Mom. And I love you a lot. should we play some music?
We shall. But first, we got an SMS from someone who wanted to know which country in Africa you grew up in.
I grew up in Tanzania, which is just on the east coast of Africa, below Kenya, and just across from Zanzibar and Madagascar on the bottom. It's a beautiful country.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We didn't get to talk about my New Year's resolutions, but we're running out of time.
Please, talk.
So do you want me to do it now or we can do it after the break? I can skip all of them,
anytime you want, my darling.
Okay, well, you know, I have the same kind of ones. Like, obviously, smoking is an issue. I have been wanting to drink less, which I've already done, so that's kind of pretty much taken care of. But I would actually like to stop smoking altogether, considering I've actually only been smoking again for 3 years and I don't really like the effects of it. A big one for me and something that I feel impacts upon my life, and this is quite a vulnerable thing, I suppose, to put out there, is I have a really bad temper. I have a really bad temper. So I think one of my very important goals for this year is to stay calm.
And by stay calm, do you mean suppress anger? Because that's not a good way of dealing
with
things
either. I think it's about, you know, taking a deep breath and
just breathe.
Just breathe. And to find more useful ways to let it out.
Do you remember when we you know, first started living together and I get pissed off with you about something and I just shout at you?
Yeah, I remember.
And you couldn't really deal with that?
It was very upsetting.
Do you remember the evolution of that process where you actually started shouting back?
I know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm not sure. I think it equalized a relationship where I was being aggro and you were just taking it. And then you started being aggro back. Let me take that back. I don't consider it aggro. I just consider it vocalizing how you're feeling at the time. And if how you're feeling at the time is frustrated and angry, I think it's okay to vocalize those things. And you don't necessarily have to say them in a calm, enunciated way if that's not how you're feeling at the time. But you grew up in a family that backed away from shouting or saying things angrily.
Well, we've never raised our voices in my family ever.
Now, do you think that's natural?
No. However, I mean, I would say it's a quintessentially English kind of family. Like, when you talk about our feelings, everything is always fine. Let's just have a cup of tea and everything's cool.
And do you think that has any link with the way that you feel angry but don't necessarily have a good outlet for the way that you feel angry and need to deal with it?
I'm sure they're completely linked. I'm not sure we have the space on this show in order to, you know, fully psychoanalyze me and solve all those issues.
So much fun.
But
so the way that you're going to temper the anger this year is count to three.
I'm going to count to 205 and not yell.
Great. And should we play some music?
Yeah, please.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.